This is a Wild Games Production podcast.
You remember.
Roll your stealth roll?
Game books, pencils, pizza, cheese puffs, and a hell of a lot of dice.
And the dragon woke up.
Roll for initiative.
This is the Roll for Initiative podcast, where 1E is the place to be.
Roll for Initiative podcast, we're in volume number 8. This is Vince sitting with Nick again.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, we're back for another fun episode of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
Yes.
But this week in German. No, kidding.
Und wir stürzen German, ja. Und Dungeons und Dragons.
You know what? I bet Dungeon Master would still be a dick if it was the German version of D&D, so.
Yes. Wer is making you talk, young ranger?
Herr Jones? Oh, wait, that's not Indiana Jones.
Are you enjoying the show you're listening to right now? Want to help support the show? Why not head over to the Patreon site, patreon.com/WGP? That's patreon.com/WGP, and help support the network for as little as $1.50 a month. That's right, $1.50 a month goes a long way. Thank you.
So, you like AD&D 2nd Edition but no podcast to listen to?
Guess what?
We got the cure right here.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is
the Thaco's Hammer Podcast.
You want me to put the hammer down?
Join DMs Glenn, Brian, Corey, and Full On Gamer as they discuss, debate, and review the world of 2nd Edition AD&D.
Yes. Go here.
Give me a gin.
Yeah, that's DM Corey ordering drinks.
Sorry. Girlfriend's getting gin.
Rules, modules, supplements, clones, everything 2E is fair game.
Someone lied to you, and there's an opposed role, and, oh, they won, so you believe the lie. I know, but I don't, because I, the player, know that they lied to me. But you, the character, have to act like you take the lie.
So listen into a podcast where number 2 is number 1. The Thaco's Hammer Podcast, the best damn 2nd Edition AD&D podcast ever. You'll find it on iTunes or at thacoshammer.info.
Anyway. All right. rfistaff@gmail.com. We're getting a lot of good feedback from these episodes. People are enjoying them. And as we heard last episode, people were actually, one person at least that we know of, Nick's friend was actually playing in a director's commentary side by side as they were watching the episode. So maybe you can do the same thing.
Yeah, and get a huge laugh out of it, too.
Yeah. So, you know, going forward to help everybody out, when we start doing the recaps, we'll just say start hitting play now or get yourself queued up to right after the credits when it displays that little scene that goes dun, dun, dun with the title of the episode.
Right, maybe when we announce the episode here, shall I do the announcement of the episode when we're ready?
Yeah, I'm ready if you're ready.
All right, well, here we go. And this episode is number 6, and this one is Beauty and the Bog Beast, written by John Gibbs. I guess Bob Richardson was uncredited for this.
Oh, okay.
Or directed by, John Gibbs, and was written by Jeffrey Scott. Hmm. And this one came out October 22nd of 1983. And our summary is, Eric is turned into a comical but ugly bog beast when he sniffs a forbidden flower. Now I must help the others of this cowardly race to defeat an evil ogre who is damming the river that runs upside down. Yes.
This one is anything involving Eric not comical. I mean, really?
And actually, in this episode, I feel for Eric. Actually, he shows a little character in this, if you get my drift. You
know? That's probably why this one was rated the highest one out of all of them.
Yeah, you get a little more... I think Eric becomes a little more expanded upon his character. So anyway... This one, like most other episodes, starts in media res. Right in the middle of something, they're in some lava pits, okay?
Oh, we got a new opening scene.
Yeah, so they're in some lava tits, post-apocalyptic, followed by some sort of invisible creature. First, I'm thinking invisible stalker? Cool.
I would have thought that too, yeah.
That's what I was thought. And they're, and here's what kind of blew my mind. They're laying an ambush for it.
Well, they're trying.
Because, like, you know, because Hank is like, it's coming, wait for it. So apparently this has been going on for a little while, at least. And then you see, like, the footprints go and disappear. Then there's, like, a little hill. And then it's Dungeon Master. Lame.
Couldn't they have just done that for Sheila in the last episode when she was walking around with the cloak?
I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead.
And he makes some lame joke about walking over hot lava being good for his feet. Yeah, because, you know, we need to have reasons for him to walk over hot lava. But DM says that he discovered another way to get home for our little party here. And he says there's a river once a year that runs upside down. And they need to go find the river that runs upside down. And it only goes for like 10 minutes one time a year it does this. And there's some other thing about, you know, he gives some other cryptic thing to say, never touch the beauty that breeds the beast. I'm like, oh God, great, another riddle.
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh.
And then Eric's like sitting there or standing there, you know, being all smug and persnickety. And he's, you know, like, why do we have to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you give us a straight answer for once? And Eric's standing there and there's some lava that kind of goes under his feet and he gets the hot foot. So I thought that was kind of hilarious.
He always gets the bad. I mean, come on, give the guy a little break.
Yeah, poor Eric. I'm starting to feel for Eric, man.
Yeah.
So they cut to a new scene. They're on a trail and it splits off. So what do they do?
What?
They split the party. They broke rule number one of D&D when you're playing it. Never, ever split the party. Because they're bickering amongst themselves like, we should go this way. Well, maybe we should go this way. So they split off.
Hank's idea.
And yeah, it's like, okay, so you get, basically, you get split off of Bobby, Hank, and Sheila and Useless Uni. Go one direction, yeah. And then Eric, Presto, and Diana go off at another.
See, this is the point where I would have knocked Uni into the lava, probably.
Probably, yeah. You know, because, you know, roasted unicorn, yum, yum.
Mm.
So we get the first glimpse of Bobby, Hank, and Sheila. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's some sort of, like, you know, because apparently Hank and Sheila actually kind of sort of get along. Better than Diana.
I think there's a thing going on there.
I was hoping maybe they're trying to develop their characters a little bit here.
No.
But they go to this scene where they're in a jungle, okay? They somehow go from this path, go under the lava, they get to a jungle, and they find this gigantic wall of metal in the middle of the jungle. But it's not a giant wall of metal. It's an enormous statue. Actually, it's an enormous golem, which is really, I mean, it's huge, tremendous size. It's like the size of the Statue of the Liberty, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, this is like the platform or the bottom part of it. They think it's a giant wall, but it's not. Yeah,
it's like a ginormous freaking, you know, iron golem.
Iron giant, yeah.
Yeah, and then somehow, you know, they get into this battle. Uni gets snatched up by the golem along with Bobby.
Aww.
And then Hank's like has this harebrained idea that he's going to use his bow, the energy bow shot, to snatch away Uni and Bobby from the hand of the golem.
Because his bow does anything he wants when he needs to kill.
I'm like, why not just shoot the golem? Isn't what you're doing very dangerous? What if you roll a one?
But, I mean, he shot fireworks the last episode, so why not? This bow can do anything.
Apparently it works.
Hmm.
So it worked. He got him, and they're riding the Lightning Man, just like the Metallica album. Hmm. So they make it back to Earth safe and sound. This giant iron golem, like Statue of Liberty size, still going after him, going,
Would you actually? Would you say that was a divine intervention role going on there?
Divine intervention?
Yeah, that one once in a lifetime shot that he does there.
Yeah, it's like a God call almost sort of thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I would say that absolutely. And then Hank actually does something smart. I know. Brace yourself. He actually uses the bow to fuse the legs of the Iron Golem together. I'm like, oh, okay, pretty smart. Mm. So, well, I guess at that point where it stopped, he's shooting a bow at it, and you know, just like giant fall, bloof. Because Sheila is like, well, Sheila distracts it, you know, using her magic cloak, popping in and out here and there, axes bait to knock over the golem, and you know, the golem tries to run after her, but his legs are fused together and he falls over and like totally collapses into pieces. There's golem parts everywhere. Mass hysteria.
I remember we tried doing this in one of our games because after watching this cartoon, we thought it was a great idea.
This giant golem?
No, fusing the legs of iron golems together no matter what size it was.
Did it work?
No, of course not.
Of course not. They have higher magic resistance, that's why.
Yeah, I know.
But they get to the edge of the jungle, so they make it back to this golem thing, and then they get to the edge of the jungle, and they find a desert. There's a lot of deserts in this place.
It connects everything, apparently.
Post-apocalyptic Earth. Anyway.
As Nick's theory gets more valid.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So the scene kind of ends there, and we go on with the other half of the group who's not dead yet, is Eric, Preston, Diana. They're in like some really nice meadows.
I like how it's you really put nice. They're not dead yet.
Well, generally, when you split the party, bad things happen.
This is D&D cartoon. Nothing bad happens.
Never mind.
He's
still a dick, but hey, you know. So they're in all these nice rolling hills and meadows, and they find a river. They're arguing about, is this the river that, you know, runs upside down? And idiot Presto stands on his head. No, it's not running upside down.
I forgot about that.
Apparently he has a high intelligence, but his has a wisdom of 3. So
I have to question his intelligence being high at this point as well.
Okay, I'll say it's 9.
Barely enough.
Bare minimum to be a magic user.
Yeah. Well, he has one spell.
He
only has one thing he can do, is use the stupid hat.
Right. It doesn't really make him a magic user anyway. But, he does that. And I'm like, really? Come on, man. Yes, humor, but it's really bad. Roll your eyes for humor there.
Yeah. Well,
so they kind of move along a little bit.
The 12-year-old you probably laughed.
I don't know. Maybe. I probably just thought, stupid, get more cereal.
Yeah.
And they find a strange flowering plant near the river. And there's some comments about beauty and its beautiful flower. And like Eric says, oh, this is a beauty. And he picks the flower and Sheila's, Diana's like, what's that about beauty? And all of a sudden, like there's this big puff of like, I guess like pollen or smoke out of the flower. And Eric turns into a frogman?
A bullywog?
A bullywog?
I don't know.
He turns into this bog beast. Now, I tried to look up the stats on the bog beast. Couldn't find anything on it. No one's done anything with the bog beast.
Nah, because it was just basically him transforming into a werefrog at this point.
Basically, it's just... And now he talks, he goes...
Yeah. Why couldn't it happen to Uni?
I know. So, Presto and Diana are laughing their asses off. And if I could say this, you know, arrogant bastard had it coming.
So,
that's what they were probably thinking, you know?
Okay.
And there was a snide comments to Eric. Eric is all pissed off. And then he asked Presto to use his, well, not ask. He tells him to use his hat. And that's just epic fail all around for Presto using his hat. He fumbled. he turns him like with a, gets a dress on with pigtails. Eric, you know, ends up like that. Then he does something again where he turns into a sort of dragon-like thing. He's like, stop it.
I'm beginning to believe that Presto's dice has all ones on them except for one side.
One where it's a 20.
Yeah, that's it.
So, and then, like, when all this is happening, DM shows up.
Oh, hey, guys.
Like, you didn't heed my words.
Yeah.
And they're asking about DM to Dungeon Master to undo this spell. He says he can't do it because reasons. And
yeah, he only has all the magic in the land and the most powerful person in the world, but he can't help them.
Yeah, well, it's... Well, you did. They didn't use the word curse, but we know it's a curse, right?
Essentially.
So, in a way, it can make sense because the one who cast it, if there was a caster, I guess the plan is the only one that can undo it. But he does say, to undo that spell, he has to find in what you dislike the most. You have to find something what you dislike the most.
Uni?
So, oh. No. Okay. You, I'm sure.
Yes, but that'd be me.
For Eric, find whatever he dislikes the most.
But that's, it could be anything, because he like dislikes everything.
I know. So, meanwhile, we go back to Sheila, Hank, and Bobby in the desert. And Uni, sorry. And Uni sees a mirage, starts going over it like, and then he tries to drink from the mirage. I'm like, ass.
That's like the typical go-to in cartoons. They're walking through a desert. They always see a mirage, and someone mirage. Always tries to drink from the mirage.
Drink it. Yes. That is so Looney Tunes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, next thing you know, there's anvils falling on Hank and Uni.
No, just Uni.
So, yeah, and Uni just feels really stupid. And then Hank's bow starts, like, tugging around. Apparently, it's a divining rod for water as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, I'm thinking, okay, that's useful.
Mm. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay, put that in your back pocket of things that Eric's bow can do besides shooting things. It's a divining rod.
I have to look up the stats that they had for these things, and I wonder if they actually include as divining rod.
You know what? I think they did.
Okay.
Because someone, when they did that whole series, I think they incorporated all the little maybe extra things about the magic items, and I think divining rod for water is one of them. So it starts, you know, and it points upward, and then Hank shoots up in the air. The shot comes down and makes a crater in the ground. And then you see and it's actually a pit, and it's like the sand sucking them in, and they go into this pit. And then they end up into some like underground bog, I guess. You know?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Because then they end up being surrounded by bog beasts because they all talk like this.
It's like a Star Wars character, but
yes,
I have to stop it.
Bog beasts.
I have to ask, like, how many times have they been in the desert so far? Like 5 episodes, and they just find out that it's a divining rod.
So yeah, I know.
All right, go on.
Yeah, no continuity. No.
Nope.
So Bobby wants to kick the bog beast's butt.
What else?
Hank says, wait. Just hold on. So Bobby, I'm guessing now we see another aspect of a player character class lockout. Last episode we saw, what was it, Sheila with her language skill.
We see
Bobby using his barbarian shout yell thingy. And the bug beast cower and run.
Is that maybe part of his like rage type thing or?
Yes, his barbarian rage, because nothing's more frightening than an angry 7-year-old.
Well, you seen an angry 7-year-old at the toy store and they don't get their way?
I've had angry 7-year-olds at a toy store. Yes. Too, my own.
Yeah, so you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is frightening.
Is Bobby actually like that age, 7?
I thought he was like 7 or 8.
I was thinking he's more like 10.
You think so?
I thought he was supposed to kind of represent the viewing audience in a sense because...
Oh, I guess so. He could be 9 or 10 still.
Yeah.
Nothing's more annoying than a
10-year-old.
frightening than a more angry 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So, like the bog beasts, where we get when they're talking, we understand that they're idiots and they're cowards.
Yeah.
And they tell the story of, I couldn't really tell the name of who they're talking about. Is it Caliban?
I think so. I couldn't tell either.
It's like they tell the story of Caliban, who blocked up the river. Make the fish go away. So the fish go away, dur-dur. And and Caliban wants to get rid of the bog beasts by blocking up the river.
Yeah, well,
so
that works.
There's the thing.
Yeah.
So, and that scene ends. So
end scene.
And scene. So now we go back to Eric, Diane, and Presto, who end up in a swamp kind of bog area. Not the one that Sheila, Hank, and Bobby are in right now. And they're being chased by this dragon snake thing. It actually looked kind of cool. I'm not sure what it was, but it looked kind of dragon-like to me.
Yeah.
Because of the head.
Yeah.
And then they all of a sudden start sinking to the swamp, and the scene ends. So there you go. They end up in the swamp, and they're sinking into the mud. And then that's when the commercial comes up, and they're selling He-Man toys. So we go back to the underground bog, and the bog beasts tell more of Calabug, Calabung. I still cannot understand them. Calabunga. I don't know what the heck this guy's name is. So
I have no idea.
At this point, I'm like, yeah, okay, Calabunga, whatever his name is. Calabung, I think. I think. But they speak of a legend of a leader who will come to lead them on a sacred scroll where him like us, but not like us, him dropped from sky. Because this legend is really specific.
Wow. Yeah.
So we all know what's coming here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eric, Diana, and Presto remember when they were up in that swamp area and they sunk into the mud? They dropped, quote unquote, from the sky.
Yep.
And once we see that, the bog beasts immediately start worshiping Eric. And a ginormous argument ensues. Eric's like, I don't want to lead these guys. They're a bunch of morons. So,
wow.
Well, he's right. You know? So, big old argument about what to do. But Hank says they should, they should help them and find out that. And then they find out that, I guess, when they were talking about the river, that they need to find the river that runs upside down, the bog beasts go, oh, that is river run upside down. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. So that being said, Eric agrees to help if the bog beasts find a way to change him back to normal. This is where one of the bog beasts go, normal? You normal now. And Eric goes, oh, brother. And the bog beast goes, brother.
Brother.
And hugs Eric.
Aww, like, he likes him.
Oh, my God. And I'm like, and there's another commercial, and then I get more cereal. Brother. He's like, we can help his leg. Anyway, so we get back from our commercial break. And they're off to fight Calamung. I still don't know what this guy's name is, really.
Calamung? Yeah, starts something with like that.
Calamung. I don't know. But they find out he has this powerful medallion. And they have to take this medallion away from him because apparently that holds his power. And you finally get to see this guy. He looks like an ogre mage. Am I right on this?
I think so. It's hard to tell. Sometimes
he looked like an ogre mage to me.
Yeah.
An ogre, because it would be, plural would be ogre magi.
True.
But he's an ogre mage. It looks like it, though. And then you see, like, this Calamung or Calabung or whatever the heck his name is. He's got this mill where it's all, like, the river's all dammed up. The mill's working this, this forge. Right? He's got a forge, and he has dwarf slaves again. I'm like, more dwarf slaves? Man, dwarves are weak in this world. I'm like, this is the second episode where we have dwarf slaves. You know? I'm like, come on.
I guess dwarves are like, you know, the annoying halflings or something in this world.
I guess, because, you know, dwarves in this in the realms here are really like, you know, they're getting captured left and right. And they're making weapons. And I'm like, okay, for what army? That hasn't been revealed yet, you know? So, yeah, they're making weapons for this Kawamung fella. So, Sheila goes stealth mode with her cloak and takes the medallion from Kawamung. And
you are right. And I'm looking at the episode notes for the actual script. It's Kawamung. K-A-W-A-M-U-N-G. Kawamung.
Oh, I spelled half of it right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm.
So, Kalamung, she takes the medallion, you know, rips it off his neck, and Kalamung's like, oh, you stupid, that's not real. That is not the real medallion. It was a fake. So, I guess he shoots a laser beam from the real medallion. It looks like a laser beam shoots out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eric yells at the bog beast to attack. And apparently they're cowering and everything. Sheila tries again to get the medallion, and she gets caught by Kalamung. And Bobby gets all upset because that's his sister, you know. So he gets all upset. There's this tree next to him, and then he like uses his big old, you know, club and knocks the tree down, smacks it down.
Yeah.
And we see, like, I guess Kalabong, he shoots a magic blast from his that medallion again, and Eric deflects this magic blast away. I guess it was directed at him and the bog beast. So the bog beast run away, but so does Eric.
Yeah.
So he bravely ran away. And this is where Presto gets into it. So Presto tries his magic hat. He's hiding behind a bunch of rocks, possibly stone. And he does conjuring bippity-boppity-boo and pulls out a frisbee. Okay.
He does his best impression of Urkel.
Yeah. Didn't I do that? And then he throws it away. And it just so happens when he throws the frisbee away, it gets caught into the mechanics of the mill, and the mill breaks apart because you've got something caught in all the cogs and everything. Chalk went up there for Presto. He's up to 9 now.
All right,
he's
chalk it up.
Done useful things. It was useful. It worked. A little plastic frisbee from Whammo destroyed a whole mill used for forging weapons.
I was hoping that at this point, the 10-year-old, or maybe at this point, 5-year-old, Jaleel White would come in and just kick him in the nuts for stealing his phrase in the future.
He need me in your nuts.
Yeah.
So the mill breaks apart.
Yay.
And the river is free, and it runs upside down.
Yeah.
And they have 1 minute to get home. And so Diana decides to get all acrobatic and Kill Billish-like and snatches the medallion off of Korriban. And once she does that, the real one, Kalabung turns into a bog beast. He wasn't an ogre mage after all.
Wah, wah, wah.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
And the dwarves chase Kalabung away.
Kalabung.
Whatever his name is. So they chase him away. But this is actually where it gets kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So they go into the river that runs upside down to get home. But Eric, remember, he's still a bog beast at this point. So he tries the medallion, but nothing happens. Because when they go up, he has the medallion with them. He's home. They're in that little pond.
By the amusement park.
Around the D&D ride. And he tries the medallion, but it's not working. So apparently he has to go back to actually change.
And did you notice that Uni made it back with them, even though Hank was like, he doesn't need to come with us. He should be staying.
Right. There was like that whole thing about Uni has to go back with Eric because she wouldn't fit into the world there.
Yeah.
And
they probably just kill her. And, yeah.
Right. So he's like, well, I guess I'll be here alone. And because he's there feeling all sad for himself for, I think, a whole 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the party, like, pops out of the water. They're like, ah, they did come back. He's like, oh, God, I hate this place. And then he turns back into himself, because what does Eric hate the most?
This place.
This place, the realms. Because he hates this world the most, and that was in DM's second riddle, or whatever it was.
Yeah, the thing he hates the most, which is this realm.
Which is this world, yes. Which DM kind of comes by and... You know, because DM always comes by later on at the end when it's all resolved. And the Bog Beast said that Eric is no longer a Bog Beast because now you're so ugly. Dun, 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 dun. The end.
Now, everybody laughs at Eric, including the Bog Beasts.
Well, I got to tell you, with this episode, at the end, where Eric has to make that choice, does he go back? But, you know, the medallion's not working. The only way it's going to work is if he goes back to the realms, and hopefully it'll work that he'll change back. But he's only got like a minute to do this, right?
Yep.
So the whole moral quandary, do I, you know, go back with my friends, or, you know, they have to leave without me, and so they have to make a choice too.
So this is the second time that they've had a chance to actually go home and see home. First time that they actually made it home, but had to actually go back because of various reasons, like helping an ally or helping themselves. So,
right. So, and I guess if there was a message in this episode, would be that, you know,
don't split the party.
Well, one, don't split the party. Yes. And two, that the party is, they have to stay together. They're kind of like becoming this family, if you will, as dysfunctional as it is. they've kind of become this family, right? So, and they know it wouldn't be fair for Eric to be alone. If they're going to do this, they pretty much... They didn't say it, but I think it was kind of implied if they're going to go home, they're going to all go home together.
Wow.
So it's helping out your friends here, I guess.
The moral of the story is friends just stick together through thick and thin.
Friends stick together. And
really, what do they have to go back to? Their boring lives?
Right. I mean, come on. If I had a choice, I'd go to the realms, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, leave the universe.
Because reality sucks. So
go back and leave the unicorn. I don't know.
Yeah, well, of course. So again, this is an episode just like the last one. I just can't really see how to get some nuggets for an adventure out of it. The whole Bog Beast thing is.
You can actually do it by one of the party members getting cursed, and they have to find a cure. Yeah. And maybe they have to find you can lay out some rumors like, oh, there's these Bog Beasts that hold the cure to your curse. And, you know, that you can get involved that way.
I guess you could. Sure.
Work on the whole curse, find, you know, cure to the curse.
Now, the whole Calabung thing.
Probably not.
I would actually keep him as an ogre mage.
Yeah, that probably would make more sense.
And maybe he had some friends, too. You know what I mean? He had some lackeys besides the dwarves he's using to force labor.
I don't... You know? So the medallion changes you... I'm trying to figure out exactly what the medallion does.
It morphs you into an ogre mage.
or it brings you back to your true self.
And it brings you back to your true self, and it shoots like blasts of magical energy out from it.
And what happened to it at the end of the episode? I don't recall.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Did Dungeon Master take it? Did they just like throw it on the ground, or did they stomp on it?
I know they didn't give it to the bog beasts.
Powerful weapon. I mean, item, but they just lost it.
Yeah.
Lost it.
I know. It's basically a polymorph and like, I don't know what type of, just a blast of magical energy. So
no idea.
There you have it on this episode. The only thing like I said, is one thing I got out of this episode is like, you see a little bit of a kind of sad moment for Eric, you know?
Well, they made fun of him and, you know.
Yeah, but he had to go back. He thought he was going to be alone without his friends. But that lasted like a whole 5 seconds. But
well, this episode definitely taught me that if you're ugly and don't look the same as everybody else, you get made fun of and it's okay.
So yeah, that's.
Moral of the episode, if you look ugly, you get made fun of.
Well, you know, at the end of the episode, they think Eric looks ugly. So maybe that whole beauty is in the eye of a beholder thing, like from a few episodes back, kind of holds.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, by this time I was like done with the episode and getting ready to go to Star Realm.
Yes, bowl of cereal left in the sink for mom to clean.
I was good. I'd eat all my cereal.
Yeah, but you had a bowl. You ate the bowl too?
No.
You probably put it in the sink. You put
it
in.
Who does that?
You.
No.
You put it into the sink, didn't you?
Well, no, wrong. I would get my butt slapped if I left it in the sink. I had to put it in the dishwasher.
Did they have dishwashers back then? I don't even remember, to be honest.
In 1983, yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they had dishwashers in 1983 or not. I know it wasn't a common household thing then, so.
No, they became more common in the 80s.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. Okay. They became a lot, really affordable. Hmm. We had a microwave.
Not a microwave.
Yeah.
A whole microwave? One of the old ones that you had to stand away from because it might...
No, actually it was one of those newer ones where it was like a, like it was above the range.
Oh, yeah, okay, got it, yeah.
And it had the...
Wow, you were modernized for the 80s.
Well, mom and dad remodeled the house about the year before that, if I recall.
Ah, that's why. Okay, gotcha.
So, anywho...
I guess that's going to end the episode.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything else as far as, like, you know, little tidbits for adventures. But I think what you gave was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? So.
All right, cool.
And there you have it.
Why don't you folks out there who are listening and playing along with us,
yes.
If you can figure out a way to use this in an adventure, just give us a way you'd use it. Write us, rfsstaff@gmail.com, or leave us a comment on the website how you would use it. Or on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I said or on Facebook.
Oh, right, that too. But and continue, if you haven't already, try syncing up the episode or just like listen to our show and watch the episode of the cartoon and pick those points where you can pause it and listen and just continue on. It makes it even much more enjoyable experience.
Well, according to Nick's friend, it does. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, we're going to say goodnight, everybody, and have a good time.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Roll for initiative.